Thank you for your word. Pray you'll bless it to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, before we read those words on the screen, I just want to remind you of the time when Jesus was up at Caesarea Philippi. It was the end of his time of ministry in many ways. He was heading down then towards Jerusalem. And he turned to the disciples and he said to them, now then, what are people saying about me? Who do they say I am? And Peter, as the spokesman for them, said, well, some say John the Baptist come back to life, or one of the prophets, or something like that. And then Jesus said to them, what about you guys? Who do you think I am? What do you say? And they said, well, Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God had revealed that to Peter. Well, for the next few weeks, Lord willing, I'd like us to not look at what people say about Jesus, but what Jesus says about himself. And there are several passages in the Bible where he says, I am, and he uses various things to talk about himself. And I've got a series of I ams I want to share with you over the next few weeks. But we're starting today with one of the I ams where Jesus says, I am humble. That's a good one, isn't it? So we're going to be looking at what humility Jesus demonstrates and how he wants us to show some of it as well. So we start with this, one of my favourite verses in Matthew's Gospel, this Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. Can you just feel yourself going, when you read those words? Yeah? Well, I felt that this week. I was pretty tired early on, and I knew I was having to prepare this message. And I thought, Lord, I need some help here. And when I read those verses, I thought, thank you. Yes, I'm going to enjoy what I'm going to be speaking about. Yes, so here we are. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So I've got a picture of a couple of oxen there, cattle there, with a yoke on them. Yes, that's the yoke that joins them together. And they can work in unity then, in harmony. They're pulling in the same direction. And Jesus is saying is, he wants you to take his yoke on yourself as well. Join with him. Yes? Join with him in the work for the kingdom of God. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's not going to crush you. He's going to help you. That's good. He'll direct you in the way he wants us to go, which is wonderful. So, let's have a look at our next picture then, please. Yeah? Right. Who's this then? The greatest. The greatest what? Boxer. Well, might well be that, yes. But he seemed to accrue a bit more about greatness than just boxing, it seemed to me. You know, there was, yes?
I heard quite this morning about him. He got on the plane and apparently told the stewardess, she told him to put his seatbelt on.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm Superman, I don't need a seatbelt.
Right.
So she turned around and she said, Superman doesn't need a plane.
Excellent. Very good, yes. Anyway, he's a shadow of his former self now, isn't he? Yeah. He's struck down with some illness. And the greatest, there was another man, yes.
He's died.
When did he die?
Years ago.
Well, I sure as hell wish I could cover the news. Yes. Well, there's another man who said he was the greatest. And that was Paul, the apostle. Very different train of thinking, though. What was the greatest he was? Sinner. The greatest of sinners, he calls himself. And he says, you know, that's a real encouragement to everybody else. Because if God can accept me and change me, he says, he can do it for you. Right? Because I'm the worst. And if God can do it for the worst, he can do it for anybody. So we'll move on from our boasting gentleman lesson. Right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, the ultimate test of the real Jesus is he the humble one that he talks about? You know, lots of others, he says, many will come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many. There's plenty saying, you know, follow me, I'm it. I'm the greatest. Yeah, well, no, pray not. No, the real test of the real Jesus, he's humble. He doesn't go around throwing his weight around. He doesn't get pushy. He doesn't start claiming everything for himself. You know, he's out to bless and minister. Wow, what a difference. So, real Jesus is the humble Jesus. Yes, we'll look at some what that means as we go on. Next, please. right, humble. Well, I want to read to you a passage in Philippians. That's the direction Jesus took as a demonstration of his great humility. Right? Philippians 2. You know the passage? I would recommend you memorize it if you don't. It's a great passage. And it says this. Where would we pick it up from verse 5? Yeah. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, Jesus, he says, although being equal with God, didn't hold on to that, he didn't stay in glory, he left heaven and humbled himself. How did he humble himself? He became human. Think about it. God is restricting himself to having to operate in a human body. Right? He didn't stop being God, but the phrase is he emptied himself. Emptied, left all the glory behind in many ways, yes? And yet there were those moments when the glory shone out, weren't they? But most of the time, Jesus is operating as a human being dependent on God by the Holy Spirit, yeah? He humbled himself, became a man. He says, but he even humbled himself even more and became obedient to death. Death on the cross. Like, you can't get worse than dying on the cross. And Jesus was willing to do that. And I just want to share with you a little thought that I was blessed by in the week. I was reading my Bible again. It's useful, isn't it? Yeah? And thinking about obedience. And he says, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Right. Now, when we talk about obedience, we mean getting them to do what they don't want to do. Is that usually the way, isn't it? Yeah? When you're told to obey, do it! It means you don't want to do it, but you've got to. But obedience, at the heart of the matter, for Jesus, and should be for us, is he does what Father wants because he wants to do it! To please! That's obedience! It's not cracking the whip, it's being driven by your heart! Right? And Jesus became obedient to death. He gave himself up willingly to die on the cross. You don't get lower than that. Here's the King of Glory taking the very lowest place to save you and me. That's astounding, isn't it? Yeah? That's Jesus for you. Isn't he wonderful? Right, next one, please. God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. That's in James's letter. God opposes the proud. Yes, he certainly does, but he gives grace to the humble. And I've got two examples of a proud man and a very humble man. I don't know if you can read the words because of the background there. In Exodus 10 verse 3, it says, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, so that they may worship me. Well, that's Pharaoh. And Pharaoh stands in a long line of a lot of people who are like him. Pharaoh says, when Moses goes to him, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so they can worship me. And what was Pharaoh's answer? Who does he think he is? I'm God round here. Right? And they're a lot like that, aren't they? God tell me what to do. I'm king of the castle. Yes? Clear off, God. And Moses, after a few experiments of showing Pharaoh's not quite as big a God as he thinks he is, right? Because God, I don't know if you know, but in the plagues that the Lord sent to the Egyptians, every one of them was one of their gods. They worshipped the Nile, so he turned it to blood. They worshipped beetles, so he gave them crawl over them, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, so, humble yourself, Pharaoh. You're not God. Get it. Eventually he did, but it was hard going to get there, right? And then, that's God opposes the proud. Right, so, but the other side is in Numbers 12:3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth at the time. Right? Moses was a very humble man. And in what way was Moses humble? Any guesses? I put one in Hebrews 11:24. In Hebrews 11 it says, Moses chose not to remain as a son of Pharaoh, but to be associated with the despised slaves, the Hebrews. Yeah? Think about it. I mean, Jean and my wife Jean and I were talking about this. We, in many ways, we've no conception of what Moses left behind when he turned his back on Egypt. You know? He was son of Pharaoh. Right? And all the power, all the glory. I mean, I just suggest you go pay a visit to up at Windsor, somewhere like that, you know, one of the royal palaces, and see all the splendour and all the magnificence. And that was Moses' stuff. In Egypt, the biggest power on earth at the time, all the glory, Moses left all of that, all of the stuff, to be one of God's people. Right? Amazing, eh? Reminds me of a man who's called Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a very, very, very able doctor. And what it like to become one of the Queen's physicians. And God called him into the ministry to become a preacher in a little village in Wales. Right? And someone, and God said revival as well, which is wonderful. But one of the things someone asked him many years later, you gave up a lot to become a preacher, didn't you? And his answer was, I gave up nothing. I gave up nothing. Quite. Well, Moses gave up nothing, although it was all that Egypt had to offer. Because he chose to see God as God and not himself. Right? There were other things that Moses stands out for this. When the Israelites had sinned, and God had said to Moses, get out of the way, Moses, I'm going to blast this lot and start all over again. Yeah? Moses says, no, you can't do that, Lord. You made a promise. You said you'd get them from A to B. Yeah? You said you'd do it. You said you'd save them. And Lord, if it comes to it, knock me out before you knock them out. Moses was prepared to take the place of his people. You don't get more humble than that. I mean, if I'd have been Moses, I'd have said, a good riddance. Yeah. I mean, they were a pain in the neck. They were, really honest. He was a humble man. Yeah. He was wanting to bless. And he's amazing. Right, so, there's a contrast. The proud man, the humble man. Which do you want to be? Well, I hope you choose the right one. Next, please. A quality that God delights in. How about this? This is a means of your prayers being answered. Yeah? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. What do you mean by humbling yourselves and praying? It means you're actually depending on God to do something rather than you figuring it out and sorting it all out. Yeah? Humble yourselves before him. We can't do anything right. We're in a mess. It's absolutely wrecked. We're going to have a prayer evening on September the 8th for our country. Yeah? Yeah, David Hathaway is calling a prayer day in various other places as well, but I feel we should have a prayer evening, yeah? To pray for our country, yes? If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, if you're one of his people, we'd better humble ourselves and do some praying, eh? Because our land needs some serious healing. I can assure you that. I'm sure you know that anyway. Right. It comes from being humble. Seeking God rather than ourselves. Next slide, please. Now then, there's a picture for you. God's way for the road to glory is a very interesting path. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, what about that? That's the promise from Jesus. Blessed are the meek. And what does the world think meek people are? Weak people. Right? But they're not. Right? And the interesting thing is, God says the meek will inherit the earth. You're the winner. But you notice the road. What's the way you get to the mountain at the back?
Winding.
It's a winding way. And what direction does it go? Up or down?
Up.
Eventually. But what's it going now?
Down.
It's going down. I should have made it look more down, shouldn't I? Yes. But what I'm trying to get at, I've got the arrows there. In the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, the way up is to go down. Yes? Less of yourself becomes more of him. Right? That's the idea. He calls us to follow him, being meek, gentle and humble. Right? That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. Yeah? It's not your agenda, it's God's. And it means sometimes we have to go down the valleys in order to get up to the next mountain, of course. Next slide, please. Right, how about this? This is a lovely passage, this. Right, you might not make sense of it from the picture until I read the verses for you. In John 15, Jesus has got some lovely words to say. verse 13 says this: greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Jesus says, I've called you friends. You're not servants.
Well, we are servants, aren't we?
We are servants, but it depends which boss you've got as to what kind of servant you are, of course. Jesus said, I don't call you servants, I'm calling you friends. He's made himself accessible. You could call Jesus your friend. How about that? How about that? You got a friend in Jesus? Yeah. And he says, I'm making myself available. You know, if I was to go to Buckingham Palace and knock on the door and say, I'd like to see the Queen, please, what would they say?
No.
Clear off. Yeah? More than likely. Yes? But if I go to the palace and say, I want to see and I want to speak to King Jesus, he'll say, yes, I'm listening. Yeah? No middlemen. Right? Accessible. That's Jesus. That's humble, friends. He's prepared to talk to you. How about that? I remember listening to a man on the radio some years ago. He's a good Bible teacher, you know. And he said, if I knew you like you know you, I would want to talk to you. Right? And if you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't want to listen. But don't turn the radio off. I've still got some good stuff to say. God does know you as you better than you do, and yet he's willing to take you. He's accessible. He's not the big God out there. Maybe it used to be like that for you. Yes? The big God out there. But he's the God who's here. And he's wonderfully present. Yeah, Jesus makes himself accessible. I call you friends. Isn't that wonderful? Next one, please. Right. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. That word that's usually translated, for I am gentle and humble in heart, it can be translated as because. It's the reason he says, come to me. Right? Because I'm humble. Him being humble enables him to come to us. Yes? He's condescending to reach down to us. And of course he welcomes us. Isn't that lovely? Take my yoke. Come to me because I am gentle and humble in heart. Humble in heart is a good place to be, isn't it? Lowly. Yes, lowly in heart. Right. Of course, that doesn't mean to say he doesn't think of himself as rubbish. And that, being humble doesn't mean to say you call yourself rubbish. You knew that, didn't you? Right? It's a matter of how you relate to others, not so much of what you're thinking about yourself. Right, next one, please. Right. Jesus, friend of sinners. That's what they called him, you know. It was meant to be an insult. The hoi polloi, you know, the ones with the noses in the air, they saw Jesus associating with the riffraff. I mean, tax collectors. I mean, nobody likes tax collectors. And yet Jesus goes and chooses one of them to be one of his disciples, Matthew. My goodness me, eh? And what about those terrorists, the zealots? Well, he got one of them as well. But they didn't stay like that. Jesus changed them, but he took on board his friends of sinners, they called it, as if it was an insult. But Jesus takes it as a compliment. And it is. Friend of sinners. The insult is in reality his glory. Is that good to know? Jesus is a friend of sinners.
Yeah.
I mean, good joy, I mean, though. Good, eh? Right. And he's gentle and he's dealing with this. He's a friend of sinners. Yes. You know, we can be a bit of the Pharisee with people at times, can't we? You know, give them a hard time, crack the whip, say you shouldn't do this, that, the other, and all that sort of stuff. And yet Jesus comes to us. What about that woman caught in adultery? Yeah. I mean, where was the bloke? They didn't find him, did they? Well, they did, but they let him go, of course. They wanted to stitch Jesus up. They bring this woman to Jesus. We caught her in. Yes. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? So he doodles in the sand. And we say, go on, what are you going to do? And he says the most amazing words. What did he say? Let the one who is without sin throw the stone, first stone. Right? He says, one by one. And he went back to doodling. Yes. And one by one, right, He says they all began to leave. The old ones first, right? Because the old ones began to realise they got a lot on their catalogue that wasn't worth exposing, eh? So eventually they all cleared off and there's just Jesus and the woman there. And the woman, Jesus says to her, what does he say? Lady, he says, has nobody condemned you? No, sir, she says. He says, neither do I. Then what does he say?
Go
and leave your life of sin. Yeah, right? He didn't destroy her, he didn't crush her, but he didn't condone what she'd done. It's interesting, isn't it? Our Lord's so gracious, he's good with sinners. He's a gentleman with sinners, yeah? But that lady was changed. I know she was changed, yeah? Praise the Lord. Okay, friend of sinners, good thing for our humble Jesus. Next, please. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle in heart, gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Only Jesus could say that. You think about it. Right? They used to say about some well-known preacher. They used to say he was humble, you know. He was very humble until someone heard him say, I'm humble. That's the problem, isn't it? The moment you start saying, I'm humble, you're not. But Jesus is. And he can say it. Because it's true. Right? He's got the most humble reward, badge, or whatever you call it. Yeah? Okay, next one, please. Right, so he comes for us. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you. This is how it's got to come to us as well. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, this is Paul writing, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. See, he's applying it to us. That's what we've got to be. Right? And it applies to the way we relate to others, our relationships. Are we humble in the way we deal with each other? Right? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you know why you've got to bear with one another in love? Because without love, they're unbearable. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm being stupid, of course, but you've got the idea. Yeah, it needs God's love to win through in the difficulties that we face. Right? But it's being humble that gets you there. So, question. How do we do it? How can we get to be humble? Right, well, I've got a few suggestions for you. Here's the first one. If you look at the next picture. It won't be easy. Right? Put a little picture. You'll be going in the opposite direction to society. Yeah, it's true. This was before I became a Christian. Just a little illustration, but before I became a Christian, Jean asked me to go to church with her when we were courting. And we lived in a little village in Yorkshire, and it was on quite a steep hill. And she asked me to go to church with her, and I was glad to go to church with her, yeah? And we used to go down to the church, bottom of the hill, right? And then when we'd gone to the evening service, we'd start going back up to Jean's Hall, right? And as we were going up the hill, everybody else is coming down the hill to go to the clubs. Right? Well, clubs are alright, they're all way, yeah. But we felt we were going against the stream. We were. Right? And when it comes to following Jesus, you will be going against the stream. Pride says, you've got to look good, you know. You don't be humbling yourself. Right? It's all about image, isn't it? Right? And then arrogance says, oh, I'm better than them anyway. Right? So, that's not good either. Right? And then, how about this one? Honour. I'm using that in terms of Islam. You know, the guiding principle in Islam is honour. Yeah. If they make me look bad, do them. Right? It's honour. Your honour's been defiled. It's not about honour. Jesus has the greatest honours, but he humbled himself to the lowest. These ideas run contrary to what God really wants. Yeah? And then just the last bit, self. I mean, self. King self is a bad business, isn't it? Right? Someone put it, the person who's wrapped up in themselves makes a very small package. It's true. When you start thinking about others, you begin to start to learn to live, I suggest. Yeah? So, humble goes in the opposite direction to the way the entire world operates. No wonder Christians can have a difficult time. But Jesus says, I've overcome the world. With him, we'll do the same. Next one, please. I think it's the last one. Oh, yes, yes. So, how do we get humble? First of all, realise it's going to be hard going in the opposite direction. The realisation of our sin will humble us. Yeah? That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah? You might be able to say I'm the greatest thing. Yeah? Yeah? But you can't, because Paul was. He says so. Yeah? But the realisation of how low we've been how bad things are in our lives have been at times, you know. That ought to humble us, you know. Paul says, you look back on the things that make you feel ashamed. Yeah? He says, but just remember, God's forgiven you. Yeah? Right? But we can't be putting ourselves on high and mighty places. That can't be true of Jesus. Yeah? Jesus was humble, but he had no sin to humble him. He humbled himself. Took the lowest place. Yeah? Right? And then, we're to follow his example. That's that verse in Philippians I mentioned. The King James Version says, he made himself of no reputation. Yeah? That's a really nice translation. Yeah? Made himself nothing is one of the other translations. You know, Jesus didn't worry about what other people thought about him when it meant that he had to help somebody who was down and out. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? He wasn't thinking, I've got to keep up an image here. Right? He didn't do that. He humbled himself. And we're to do the same. Our reputation. Have you got a reputation to keep? I suggest you get rid of it fairly soon if you have. he made himself of no reputation. Well, let me offer you this. Your reputation, I promise you this, your reputation will probably improve when you let go of it. If you're defending it all the time, people say, oh, he's a bit of a stuck-up so-and-so, or she is, eh? But when, you know, you let it go, people start saying, oh, they think about other people, they thought, you know. Right, so it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and it requires our cooperation. Did you know that? The work of the Holy Spirit is necessary in order to appreciate you're a sinner. I could call you a sinner all day long, but if the Holy Spirit hasn't told you, you'll say, well, he's just saying that. Right? When the Holy Spirit puts his fingers on things in your lives, he's not there to condemn you, he's there to sort it out. Which is good, isn't it? Yeah? But the Holy Spirit's the one that does that. That's why this is it's a great blessing as a preacher, but it's a real heartache as well. I can tell you the good news till I'm blue in the face. If you don't receive it, it's no good. And the only way you're going to receive it is the Holy Spirit links with you and you get it. He turns the light on. It's amazing, but he does. So that's my joy. It's not me that saves people. It's Jesus by the Holy Spirit working in you, right? But that sin has got to become, you've got to be aware, you've fallen, you've failed. You must know that, because why on earth would you want somebody to save you if you don't need saving? Right? I'm alright. I'll manage. Yeah? Remember my dad saying that? Terrible words to hear. I'll be alright, that is. Well, I don't know if he did repent at the end, but I hope he did. Yeah? I'll be alright. Well, you won't, unless you've got Jesus. Yeah? Do you know your sin, or what it's worth? Yeah? And then, the other is to follow Jesus' example. Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, you cannot be a Christian unless you've got Christ in you. Yeah? Christian means they were followers of Christ, but I'll change the meaning. Christ in an. Yes? Christ in. Without Jesus in, you will not be able to live as a Christian. Because you need his power. You need his grace. You need his humility. But praise the Lord, he's promised to do it. He says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ now. God has poured his Spirit into our hearts. We can know the love of God. Without him, we're sunk. But praise the Lord, we can know that. So, we're going to be very humble now, aren't we? Well, with the Lord's help. Yes. With the Lord's help. We're not there yet, are we? We've not arrived. Yes. But with his help, we can be better, which is good to know. Right, so I think that's the last one, is it? Yes. Right, take his yoke upon you. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, you see us all here, every one of us. Lord, you know the thoughts we have, the things that take us off track, Lord, and I'm not pointing fingers, Lord, I know myself as well. Now, Lord, I know that we all stand in need of your continual help. Lord, we cannot make it on our own, Lord. But we know that the road to success is the road going down, Lord, so often. Down in what we think about ourselves, Lord, as smart and great and good. Lord, realizing how great and smart and good you are to help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've promised to live in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there are folks here today that don't know you, really, really know you, Lord, in that personal way, Lord, turn the light on for them. Let your Holy Spirit begin to help them to see, Lord, their need of you. And give them the grace to invite you into their hearts. Lord, for those of us that have walked the journey a little way, Lord, we say thank you for looking after us all the way. Lord, yes, when we get tired and weary, may we not forget those words, take your yoke on us, Lord. Not to try to do our own stuff all the time, but to depend on you to direct and guide us as we need to go. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there is no doubt you love us. We know that because you gave your life for us. Lord, greater love is no man than this, you said. You lay down your life for your friends. Lord, you've done it. Lord, the proof's there for us all to see. And thank you, Jesus, you're alive today to come and to live in our hearts by your Spirit. Enable us, Lord, to think more of others, perhaps less of ourselves, and Lord, to humbly follow you. Lord, you gave us the example, and Lord, thank you. The road leads to glory. Lord, when we will shine, and we need to be proud of it, Lord, because we'll just shine because it's you. We praise you, Lord, and give you thanks. Father God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.